I was fortunate enough to go and see the Bill Wheeler State High School's production of Fame, this year's school musical. The opening line of the musical was repeated over and over again in the opening number. I pray that I make PA. I pray that I make PA. I pray that I make PA. The idea is that there's, you know, a whole bunch of students waiting to see if they get into the performing arts school, PA. And, well, if you happen to attend the musical, I know there are a few people here who did, the next thing, they're all opening these envelopes to see whether they made it or not. Now, quite often, we might find ourselves praying most when there's something we really want. Maybe something we really need finds us praying, perhaps more on our knees than we often are. But the reality is, most of the time, we can find it really hard to pray. Sometimes prayer can have us feeling like we're interrupting God from his important work, bothering the most important one of all with our trivial day-to-day problems. Sometimes we're even inclined to think, why would he listen to me? I'll just wait till there's something more important to pray about. But as we continue on this week, looking at spiritual disciplines, you know, those spiritual practices that help us to know and follow Jesus better, that shape us and move us towards godliness, well, it seems to me that prayer is probably the spiritual discipline that Christians struggle with more than any other, even more than Bible reading, perhaps. For many, the struggle with prayer is very real. But here's the thing. Almost every disciple of Jesus agrees that prayer is important. We just struggle to do it, to live lives that are filled with prayerfulness. The scriptures are pretty clear that prayer is not an option. It's not an optional thing. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's Gospel, Jesus refers to prayer in a way that shows that he expects it to be a normal part of the Christian life. When you pray, Jesus says a number of times, when you pray. Not if you pray, but when you pray. And in his letters, the Apostle Paul is constantly sharing with churches and individuals the things that he's praying for them. And to the Thessalonians, he says, rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Following Jesus is a life of prayer. When Paul says God's will is that we pray continually, it's not saying that we, you know, rule out every other activity we're doing under the sun and just pray. No. That's not what he's saying. He's saying praying continually means living a life that's filled with prayer in a way that doesn't stop you from doing everything else that you would do. But we do these things prayerfully, in conversation with God, so that we're kind of running everything we do past the Lord. There's a natural link between Bible reading and prayer, which we looked at last week. And there's a very good reason for that. See, in Bible reading, God is speaking to us through his word. But in prayer, we're speaking to God. So in both of these activities, we're relating to God. So just like Bible reading, prayer is also deeply relational. It comes about because Jesus has cleansed us from our sin through his personal sacrifice by dying on the cross in our place. By faith, we've been joined to Jesus and adopted into God's family so that God is now our Heavenly Father. prayer, like all spiritual disciplines, doesn't make us right with God. Jesus alone does that by his work at the cross. But prayer to God is the natural way of life for those that God has redeemed, for all Christians. Now in Luke chapter 11, which is a parallel passage to what Philip read out for us in Matthew's gospel, one of Jesus' disciples comes to him and says, "Jesus, can you teach us how to pray?" But there's context here. If we go to Luke chapter 11 verse 1, you'll see it there. Luke chapter 11 verse 1, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus himself had just been praying, and seeing the Son praying to his Father in heaven prompts the disciples to ask Jesus to teach them how to do the same. And you'll notice here that Jesus doesn't rebuke them for daring to think that they can relate to God, their Father, in the same way that he does as the Son. It's actually the opposite. It's the complete opposite. Jesus encourages them to do it in a way that's breathtakingly bold and confident, as any child would speak directly to their father. Jesus gives them a model prayer, a model for prayer, but a model prayer in verses 2, 3, and 4 of Luke's Gospel. Sorry, chapter 11 of Luke's Gospel. As we said, this is a parallel, verse compared to Matthew. But we're going to come back to that in a moment. First of all, we want to look at this remarkable story he tells afterwards in Luke chapter 11 from verse 5. Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Well, don't bother me. You know, the door is already locked. You know, my children and I are in bed. You know, don't wake us up. I can't get up and give you anything.' And then he says this, 'I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, your persistence, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need.'" Well, who really wants to get out of bed after midnight to help a friend out with food for unexpected visitors? But you'll do it just because they ask and they keep knocking on the door, and you know that you're not going to get back to sleep until you give them something. But that's the key here. Ask, Jesus says. Speak to your heavenly Father and be bold in prayer for the things you need. Be persistent. Unlike that feeling, you know, we sometimes get when we think that God's busy with more important things than what we have on our minds, Jesus says, just do it. Ask. We're not speaking to, you know, upper management in some large organization who see us just as a number, you know, an employee in the database. We're speaking to our Father, who is far, far better than that. He's more loving, in fact, than any earthly dad we can imagine. We don't need to be ashamed of our neediness or embarrassed about our weakness and what we have to ask for. We're not to be too proud to ask for help or thinking that our problems are too trivial for God. Ask, seek, knock, says Jesus. Your heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts to you. That's God's heart for us, his children. So again, prayer is all about our relationship with God, which has come through Jesus. Nothing can take that away from us. Talking to God is a natural part of that intimate relationship that we each have with him. There's a whole lot more that can be said about prayer. You know, we're not to do it out on the open street corners where everyone can see us and, you know, we're showing off, in effect, how good our relationship with God is compared to everyone else. No, we're to be doing it quietly. It's our conversation with the Lord. I'm conscious that we're only really just scratching the surface of something really big here. Our relationship with God depends on our communication, if you like. It's probably worth a number of sermons just on its own. If you take away nothing else today, remember this. This is our relationship with God. This is where we're investing, if you like. So let's look now at how to actually go about praying. How we do it. We're actually going to look at Jesus' model for prayer here in Luke 11. Like we've just been talking about, the prayer begins by remembering our relationship with God, calling God our Father. And one of the most amazing things about it is just how short it is. In fact, in Luke's Gospel, it's even shorter than it is in Matthew's Gospel. It's very brief and to the point. Jesus tells us elsewhere that God doesn't hear us simply because we use a lot of words, like the pagans do, which means our prayers can be short. So much better to pray briefly than not pray at all. Every year, I get a Christmas letter from a mate of mine down in Sydney. It comes by email. His Christmas newsletter is often 2, 3, 4 pages long. It's got pictures in it with little captions about how he and his family are going. Each year, I feel like it deserves a good reply, a proper response. But it's normally about this time of year that I realise that I never got back to Graham, my mate in Caringbah, down in New South Wales. It would have been better just to write at least a short note at the same time that I received the email, rather than not reply at all. We shouldn't be like this with prayer. In those moments when you're feeling anxious or alone, perhaps thankful or burdened, it can be just a few words. Just pray. Of course, there's nothing wrong if you're able to pray for hours, if you can, but God hears short prayers and long prayers just as well. But the next thing to notice, there's a range of things the prayer is concerned about. Big things, little things. It starts out by praying that God's glory will be known everywhere on earth, and that God's promised kingdom will arrive. This is a big prayer. That's what "hallowed be your name" is all about. That God's name, which is really another way of God talking about himself, that God's name will be honoured by everybody everywhere. There's smaller things as well that we're to pray for us personally, like asking that God will provide the things that we need each day, the things we need for life, food, forgiveness, and fortitude against sin. When we pray for these things, we have complete confidence that God will answer our prayers with a huge yes. Yes, of course, my child. God loves to give us the good things that he has in store for us. Prayer is a means that he uses to do that. Look what it says from verse 2. He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Like I said before, you notice here that it's even shorter than what we have in Matthew's gospel. It doesn't have to be a great, long, drawn-out prayer. But it's a gospel-shaped prayer. Prayer that has the concerns of the gospel front and centre. To see the good news fill the world and see every man, woman and child on the earth reconciled to God so that they can sing his praises forever. To see the effect of God's saving work played out in our lives as well. That we might indeed avoid temptation and flee from it. Prayer is our faith in action. Confidence that God will act according to his promises and his goodness to us. And like we said before, we're not to go on and on like the pagans do. Think of the account of Elijah and the prophets of Baal in the Old Testament. Does everyone know that story? Heard that one before? Elijah confronting them on Mount Carmel, challenging them to see whether Baal will answer by setting alight the wood to burn up the sacrifice. Well, just imagine the scene. Picture yourself there for a moment. I think we've got a picture there, Timothy, do we? You're standing on the ridge of a mountain. All around you are plains, but what you notice most of all is dust. Dust on the ground around you, dust in the air from people moving around, dust every time the wind blows. There's no grass, nothing's growing. All the grass has long since turned to powder. There's a few hardy trees hanging on just. Their leaves are withering. And it's all because Elijah has spoken the word of the Lord that there'd be no rain on the land. But this day, grating on your ears and on your nerves is the sound of a couple of hundreds of prophets of Baal jumping around, wailing. They've been at it for hours. Their voices now growing hoarse, calling out to Baal. Bodies covered with blood and dust mixed together, standing up, falling down to the ground as they desperately cry out to Baal. But despite giving it everything they've got, the meat of the bull that's being sacrificed is still lying on the woodpile on the altar. Nothing moves except the flies buzzing around. Than an old man who's been watching as the sun begins to set. He's lean and wiry, skin like leather from living outside. He asks for water to be poured on the sacrifice. And in a loud voice, he calls out to Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And fire falls from heaven, consumes the whole altar. What a huge difference. Baal didn't answer. Because Baal couldn't answer. He's made up. But with a few short words of prayer from Elijah, the living God answers. He hears prayers and he works in the lives of his people for our good. If you're looking at things and not factoring God into the equation, you wouldn't have given Elijah a chance against, yeah, hundreds of guys. He seemed lonely and outnumbered. But Elijah wasn't looking at things like that. He had a different perspective. His faith and confidence were in God, who hears our prayers. So how can we pray continually? How can we make prayerfulness a key part of our lives that naturally flows out from our relationship with Jesus and our Heavenly Father? Like we said before, this can be tough to be doing this all the time. Well, it's worth hearing the story of Peter, the barber. Peter lived a long time ago. He lived in Wittenberg in Germany. One of his regular customers was a bloke called Martin Luther. Now, Peter actually wrote Luther a letter asking him for some practical advice on how to pray. And Luther wrote him a beautiful pastoral letter back. In reply, he explained what he himself did in his own prayer life. It's worth reading if you get a chance. You can find it online. But here's some of Martin Luther's tips. First of all, he says that when he's feeling cold and joyless about prayer, this communication with God, the way he starts is to go to the Scriptures, to read the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, or a psalm. Luther found that going to the Scriptures warmed his heart and kindled his desire to pray. Well, of course, when you think about it, you go to God, let him talk to you first. And that's going to encourage you to talk back and talk to him. It all makes good sense when you think about it like that. Then Luther would pray a brief prayer asking for God's help to pray more. Sometimes he'd use the Lord's Prayer as a model and inspiration for his own, putting it into his own words and applying it to his own struggles and temptations that day. Sometimes Luther would pray through the Ten Commandments, not necessarily each one, but again using them as inspiration for his own prayer, reminders of the confessions he needed to make and the struggles he had. Sometimes he'd pray through a psalm. It's absolute gold, isn't it? The advice of a lifetime. When you're struggling to pray, go to the Scriptures. Let God speak to you first. There's some tips from Martin Luther to get you started when you're struggling. When it comes to prayer, we just have to start. When we start praying, it usually leads to us praying more, remembering other things we can bring to the Lord in prayer. We build up our prayer muscles, if you like, by regularly practicing. You can start trying to pray for just a minute. Maybe slowly increase it over time. You might surprise yourself with how it goes. The reality is, however, that prayer is a struggle for many believers. Probably always will be. But we can be more prayerful than what we are now, with a little practice. We have a Father who hears. Let's pray now. Our dear Lord, our Father in heaven, we want to thank you that you are there, that you are real, and that you answer our prayers. Not only do you hear our prayers, you answer them. Lord, give us that confidence to pray to you, to share our innermost thoughts, all of our life, that we might indeed be a people after your own heart. Lord, may we grow in our relationship with you each and every day. Help us to see just how much you love us as our Father, who cares for each and every one of us more than we can ever know. Lord, give us the strength to pray throughout our lives. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.